It's always easier to pick up on Mother's Day than it is on Father's Day, you know. So I always wonder, what do you get fathers on Father's Day, you know? Women, it is getting flowers. They're happy with flowers, you know. But that and sweepers, I'm sure. No sweepers? Oh, this area? Yeah. You can repair it, making a new sweeper. So anyhow, welcome to today. Yeah, this is a new mic, so you'll be able to hear me more clearly, understand me more completely.
Mike,
yes, still the same name.
It's still a mic.
It's still a mic. Wisdom, that's it. That was always, when I was a kid, it's only another day or two ago, I used to think, wow, you pray for wisdom, it's like Solomon, you get wealth, you know? So I'd always pray for wisdom so I could get wealth indirectly, you know. Rather than praying for wealth, I'd pray for wisdom so that I knew that I'd get rich. Yeah, work for him. Why not me, you know? Yeah, you know, he was just wise. What's that? No, wealth was not his objective. No, he wanted wisdom, but, you know, along with it came riches. So I figured, hey, I can do that. I can get smart and make money. Well, how did that work out? It worked out very well. I'm still in the process of collecting wisdom, you know, and money, you know. So,
well,
yeah, yeah. When I get the wisdom, I'll tell you how good it is, you know. Yes, yeah. I have to tell you that I'm humble. You know, I tell you that I'm wise. Did you know that? Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like, I'm humbly, you know, it's like, okay, with humility I speak this, it's like, but are you really humble or humility? You know, I never know, you know, it's just like one of those things, it's, you know, I'm very friendly, but don't talk to me. It's one of those oxymorons or something. Yeah, don't bother me. I love people, but don't bother me. I'm tired right now. It was one guy said, if it weren't for people, I'd have a good ministry. I always like, one of our friends used to say, do you know how important I think I am? So anyhow, today we are looking at the spiritual gifts in the assembly. I guess why they didn't put church down there, but whatever. That the spiritual gifts as they operate within the church. And sometimes I think we, maybe we're afraid of the gifts. We're afraid that God is going to make me do something that, that you know, it's like those people they put under hypnosis and they have them do stupid things and they wake up and didn't know they did it. And sometimes I think people's opinion of the Holy Spirit is that type of understanding which is furthest from the truth. That the Spirit of God, the Spirit is always subject to the prophet. Meaning the Holy Spirit is always subject to the individual. Meaning the Holy Spirit will never override you as a person. So everything we do for God is a free will decision on our part to do or go in a particular direction or to allow God to move through us in a particular fashion. So God will never force you, you know, he's not going to knock you over the head and, you know, give you something you don't want. But the idea is that God distributes the gifts of the Spirit. He gives them freely and he distributes them numerously as he sees fit for the edification or for the body of Christ. So whenever we want wisdom for ourselves, is selfish motive, well, then the wisdom, you know, God's, you know, it's not for you, it's for the assembly. You know, so the gifts of the Spirit are they flow through us and they benefit us, but it's really for the people around us, for the people in the church. And when Paul says that, he talks about the gifts and so on, and then he comes back and he says, I show unto you a more excellent way, which is the way of love. And some people want all the gifts of the Spirit, but they don't want to love people. You know, in Corinth, the church was, you know, they wanted all the gifts, but they didn't want to, they couldn't put up with their neighbor. You know, they couldn't, the Jews couldn't put up with the Greeks, and the Greeks couldn't put up with the Romans, and the Romans couldn't put up with the Jews, you know, so they were just kind of just always in friction with each other, but wanting all the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul's telling them that if you don't love your brother and you don't love those around you, doesn't matter what the gifts are, you just make a bunch of noise. And so I think of that. This is one of the old radio preachers for the assemblies used to say, if you don't believe there's a devil, go to a church business meeting, you know? And he, you know, because, and it was, I always thought that was, here we are, people of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and yet not being able to get along with one another. So they would emphasize the gifts and the leading of the Spirit, but they wouldn't love their neighbor. You know, it was just one of those, and you know, so they all go together. Loving and the gifts and all that stuff goes together. And, of course, I you know. Well, anyhow, I have a lot of memories of those things, even in our own church, in my church as a youth. But the challenge is for us as Pentecostal believers that the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are available for worship and for service and are essential to the fulfillment of the church's mission. So we need the Holy Spirit, you know, whenever we're thinking about living our daily life. You run into your daily problems, whether it's your husband, your wife, your kids, your neighbors, your aunts, your uncles, your in-laws, your outlaws, you know, where your job, the people, you know, doesn't matter where we are at, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to give us the gifts that we need and the fruits that we need to deal with them. Then we're not focused so much on who we are, but how God is going to work through us to help others. And so the challenge is that we're asking God to help us in these situations, therefore we're opening ourselves up to the gifts of the Spirit. So Paul here talks about the gifts of the Spirit and their place in public worship. And Paul's instructions about the proper use of the spiritual gifts in times of how that we come together in worship. Now, you think about love, he calls love the greatest of gifts. And so if we have love in our heart, then we have the foundation for the moving of the Holy Spirit upon our life and moving through us. So what else? So the gifts of the Spirit affirm the character of Jesus Christ. Because the gifts, whenever we'd say, well, I was thinking of it, what would it be like to know Jesus, right? If Jesus were standing here. Now, if you look at his ministry, the work that Jesus did, he had all the gifts of the Spirit operating in his life. They were all there. And then he had all the fruits of the Spirit operating in his life. So if you took the fruits of the Spirit to their highest level, and you took the gifts of the Spirit to their highest level, that would be the character of Jesus. Love, patience, gentleness, long-suffering. So you see the height of these things. So Christ is our example. So all we're trying to do is, like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, what we're trying to do is follow Christ, that as he is outlined and given to us in the Scripture, but also as he is the person, the second person of the Trinity, that he is God in us and God with us, and it's in this situation that we are following Christ. All right, well, first, any questions? Any thoughts? Alrighty. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. For you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, so as we know and have studied, that Corinth was a place where, idol worship, temples and goddesses, and they had a, tremendous amount of gods and dumb idols. They had idols everywhere. And the people at that time were very superstitious. And was in Athens, they even had a vacant spot for in case they missed a god, So they were everything was a god, The sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the trees, everything was a god. And they made up their beliefs about those gods. And so Paul calls them, you were all worshiping dumb idols, and you were led away by them. Wherefore I give you to understand. Now, if you think of people operating in the gifts of the Spirit, okay, when people are saying they are speaking for God, well, Paul immediately says that I want you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So evidently, there were people in the congregation who were claiming to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but disclaiming Jesus. And the first thing he starts off with is, anybody who does that, they're not being led by God. Okay. For the gifts of the Spirit come, Jesus ascended to heaven, he says to them, I will send you another comforter, meaning that I will give to you another one just like myself. So if we won't listen to the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't listen to Jesus Christ standing here talking to us. We'd be like the people at the day in which he was crucified, and they turned against him. Religious people turned against him. It's funny how religious people can be the most, and I guess that's why, there's some, I think that people, sometimes, and again, this is a generality, that people who make the most out of everybody else's faults and problems are generally the ones that are having the problem, it's like, I visited lots of people, but in hospice, there was this one family, one lady, I guess, she was talking about, I asked her if she had a church, and of course, she began to tell me why she didn't have a church, and why she didn't go to church, because all them hypocrites down there, and how that they were doing this and that, and all the things wrong with everybody that went there, and they would sit there and be holy on Sunday, but Monday you could see them, So, and there are people like that, but that's not Jesus. Jesus, the church, is to follow Christ, and Christ, the body of Christ, is to emulate Jesus Christ. And if we are not emulating Jesus Christ, then we're really not the body of Christ. And there are people who claim to be part of the body of Christ, but really aren't. And how does the Bible say you know them? By their fruits, you shall know them. So if the fruit that you pick from their tree is rotten, then they're not following Jesus. If they're hanging out in the, in the worst of places, I guess I didn't tell you this. We had a meeting at the conference we were at. We were having a chaplain's meeting. And, of course, the chaplain, the guy who's the head from Springfield, he doesn't know where he's going. He just, he knows a hotel where some people are staying. And he asked them, is there a restaurant nearby? And so they gave him this boomerang bar and grill. Okay, well, what does he know? Maybe there's a bar on one side and there's a restaurant on the other. Well, we get there, it's a bar. And there's a little place in the back. But anyhow, we're talking at lunch. We're telling people we're going to this boomerang bar and grill. And the people around the table were people from that area. And they said, you're going to the boomerang bar. I said, that's okay, we're chaplains. We can go wherever, We go, right, that's it. We can go to the bars because that's where the sinners are. We're chaplains. We can go anywhere, you know. Yeah. So the guy that is the head, he was embarrassed, you know, that we had gone to such a place. But they did have a room in the back that was not part of the rest of the facility. But it was kind of funny because, you know, by their fruits you shall know them. And, you know, chaplains, we go everywhere, you know. Yeah, he doesn't know. You know, we went, whenever we were in Maine, we went to Pizza Hut. And we were in there sitting down, and these pastors came in, and they looked at us and looked at, they had served alcohol at the time, and, you know, still do, but they had, and they looked at us and looked at somebody who had a pitcher of beer, and they says, oh, and they walked out. So they wouldn't go to Pizza Hut. So you just never know. So, but that was a long time ago. But the idea is, you know, God knows our hearts, and he knows what we do, why we do, and all that kind of stuff. But we want to be the same person in church as we are on Monday, is the same person we are on Sunday, that we're the same. You know, we don't change because it's a different day. So no one calls Jesus accursed, that no man can say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. So the devils will not say that Jesus is Lord. You know, they won't say that. So he's just setting it up there so that they know this is the foundation. Okay, this is where we start. Then verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, whenever we're talking about the body, and Paul talks about the body, that you can have many members, you know, the hand, the feet, the eye, the ear. You know, we're all different, but yet, you know, the expression, we're all the same but different. And in some circles, you can't say that because you can't be the same and different. That's an oxymoron. It can't be the same and different. But it is, you know. Ice is water and water is steam, and, you know, it's the same but different. So in this case, there are diversities of gifts. But see, the Holy Spirit has a way of working. And what's the purpose of the working of the Holy Spirit is for the well-being of the body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit then, who brings us, see, we cannot come to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit draws us. You know, we don't find Jesus on our own. The Holy Spirit leads us to Christ. The Holy Spirit makes, as it were, Jesus real to us. And what we understand of God, truly understand, isn't just head knowledge. It's heart knowledge, and it's a spirit knowledge, and that's the Holy Spirit that has taught us these things. So we have the Holy Spirit in us. Now, the next step is for us to realize that the giftings that he is giving to us, it's the same. And whether it's administration, you know, somebody's got to be in charge. And There are different administrations. There are diversities of operations. Same God who worketh all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, to profit the whole congregation. So the ministry of the Spirit is not for our own personal gain. You know, many times people would elevate, you know, well, they have a gift, and so therefore they are elevated above everybody else because they have this gift. Well, Jesus, the scripture says that he that is greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. Think about that. As a pastor, he's the head of the congregation. But as a pastor, we're the servant of all. You know, president of the United States, whether you like him or not, the position, the office, he is the servant of all.
But if he's the servant of all, that doesn't make him a poor man.
No. So, but you see, that's whenever, when you think, he that is greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. So whatever our position is, we are in a position of leadership, but a position of leadership is to serve. Now, if we have a position of leadership and throw out the, you know, sink the ship and I'm the captain, you know, that's not much of a leader. What was that one? That's it. Well, that one shipping accident years ago, the captain, he abandoned ship before everybody else did, you know. Yeah, he was the first one in life, but why? He wasn't going down with the boat. Wasn't mad, didn't matter, it was his fault, but he wasn't going down with the boat. He's getting out of there. But right, the fruit of the Spirit is for the people who, yeah, it's food for others. The tree doesn't consume the fruit. No? Got that? So if you love somebody, it's for their benefit. It should be, yeah. So, but anyway, for one, okay, then it says, but it is the same God who worketh all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation is to be made known by the senses. So there are verbal gifts, there are, I need to find that somewhere. I remember reading it years ago. There's nonverbal gifts and there's verbal gifts, okay? So, for one of the Spirit is the word of wisdom. Now, whenever we start looking at these gifts, the Holy Spirit can, will, give to us. Now remember, we have to ask for and be open for the Holy Spirit. Now, we accept, whenever we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is in our life, okay? He makes Jesus real to us, okay? Third person of the Trinity, he is, you know, Jesus said, I ascend to the Father, I send to you another comforter, one just like myself. So the Holy Spirit is with us. And the Holy Spirit is, you know, everywhere present at the same time. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is in us. So whenever we are praying for the gifts of the Spirit, one of the gifts, and starts outlining them here, is a word of wisdom. Now, it's important that we understand that the gifts of the Spirit often are impartations for the moment. All right, so a word of wisdom is, I'll read it here. I try to think of it in the context of wisdom is an understanding of how things work or how things fit together. A word of knowledge is that these are the things you have to work with. You know, a noun, person, place, or thing. Knowledge is a noun that we know something, and they are a word, meaning a parenthesis, not exclamation point. What do you have in brackets on both sides? Parentheses, yeah. They're parentheses. I was thinking of quotations. But anyhow, a word of wisdom is particular insight into a situation. Like, okay, God, what am I going to do now? That's a prayer. And so we need to say, okay, God, what am I going to do now? Well, the next thing is don't open your mouth, wait. Listen, what is the impression in your heart? What is the impression? Sometimes God doesn't want us to say anything. Sometimes he wants us to wait. So a wisdom is, where are they here? A message of wisdom in a difficult situation, a message of wisdom may be given to solve a problem. The decision of the council in Jerusalem to include Gentiles in the church, for an example. So a decision to solve a problem. Information that you have no way of finding out or seeing the application. Word of wisdom. See, that's why I believe that Christians should be the most creative people on the planet. Because everything that we do, God has designed us to do it. Now, like I said, one guy, God doesn't give me understanding in brain surgery because I'm not a brain surgeon. Okay? So I have a word of wisdom, meaning a word for the place where I am at in my life. Okay? So God will give us that word. Now, a word of knowledge is certain facts, all right? The gift of is not knowledge, but a word or a message of knowledge. A word of knowledge is a message that can be attained only by the Holy Spirit's disclosure. The Holy Spirit revealed to Peter that Ananias withheld part of the money. You know, Ananias and Sapphira came and they withheld part of the money. And they said, this is all we got. And Peter says, no, it isn't. Why? He had a word of knowledge. He had insight into that situation that knew, he knew that it was different than what they were saying. You see, when people tell us something and say something, and we know that what they are saying isn't right, that's not passing judgment. It can be a word of knowledge that's telling you, don't believe this. Prove it. Well, in the proving, we may prove it correct or incorrect. But the idea is we need to prove it. Whether and God is maybe telling us, this is what you need to do in order to make sure that it all the ducks are in order. Okay? Everything is in as it should be. Doesn't mean you were wrong. Okay? Word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, faith in this category is make a distinction between saving faith and the faith of the believer living in the Christian life. The gift of faith is faith beyond what believers normally have. A kind of faith that moves mountains. A great assurance that God will reveal his extraordinary power. So the gift of faith is, we are praying for something, and it's like, you know this is going to happen. I believe that this is going to happen. This is not the normal. This is not the normal situation. I just know that this is going to happen. Okay, that's a word of knowledge, but it can also be a gift of faith, meaning I believe God is going to do this in our church, in our life, in your life, and whatever. These are gifts from the Holy Spirit that are given for that moment, for that situation, for that problem. God is going to do it. See, who wouldn't want more faith? James says, he that lacketh faith, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. So that's a kind of faith that continues to grow and evolve. The word of the gift of faith is a divine impartation for this moment. Like in Africa, this guy was running, fleeing for his life. He was a missionary, fleeing for his life. And he came to a river. And, you know, he was dead beat. And he ran across the water. He knew that he had to run across the water. He had that gift of faith that God, now he couldn't walk on water every other day, but it was at that moment he knew, he believed that he could run across the water, and he did. And of course the guys following him didn't make it. But he was running for his life, and at that moment he believed that God, he could walk on water like Jesus, and he did. Yeah, Peter believed. He got on the boat, out of the boat. So, he got out, yeah. We got to go on. Knowledge, faith. To another, the gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. That there is a belief in us that the Holy Spirit, whenever we're praying for someone, you know, it's like... I humbly say this, and in hospice it was difficult, you know, because you are a person who believes that God can heal, but in that situation you knew that they weren't going to get better; they were going to die and get better. But then you pray for people in that situation, and you pray for people here at the altar for who have an illness or have some other sickness. Well, there are gifts of healing mean you're praying for God to believe for healing in this situation, and it's different than praying for someone who is terminally ill. Now, can God heal a terminally ill person? Yes. But there was never one of those moments where, you know, this person is going to get up out of the bed and walk, and, you know, you prayed for that. You wanted it to happen, but it didn't. But then you do the same in church. You're praying for people, and it's not the same, because the difference is God, you know, the gifts of healing, that God can, like, give that gift to you. There were, you know, Oral Roberts, you know, people used to make fun of, you know, fun of him, and, you know, secular people would make light of him. But he had the gifts of healing. He had a supernatural impartation of the Holy Spirit. Now, there were people who weren't healed, but there were numbers of people who were. He had this gift. It was given to him by the Holy Spirit. So, working of miracles. Miracle in a broader category than healings. The function of this gift includes the casting out of demons and the judgment of blindness. The manifestation of the gift may often involve supernaturally encountering and overcoming the powers of Satan. So the working of miracles, turning water into wine, feeding of the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So those are the working of miracles. Like, you know, we pray, and we pray over the offering, and we give our tithe to the offering. We're praying that God is going to multiply what comes into our life or give us the ability to find the right deals. If you want to know how to go shopping, go ask Rhonda. She saves me money every week. She comes back from the mall and says, "Do you know how much money I saved?" That's a little joke there, a little joke. But anyhow, it's the working of a miracle. But the idea is that we are praying that God will give us the best bargains, that God will give us the best deals, that we are going to find the best for what we need at the least amount of money, that, you know, because we are praying that God will honor our gifts. And it goes out from there. All right. Prophecy. A spontaneous speaking in behalf of God. Now, this is, God has given you a word of knowledge, but God has given you a message from God for someone's life or even into your own life. It's like you're reading the scriptures and there's like a scripture just jumps out of the Bible at you. Or you hear someone speaking and it just jumps out of the Bible at you, jumps off the page to you and say, This is my word for you. That's like a prophetic utterance the Holy Spirit is making real to your life. A supernatural impartation. Now, we can speak a word of prophecy over someone's life. Now, there used to be a group, there was often lots of groups that would, they always had a word from the Lord for everybody, and they had him every week. And I think of it in the context, that's not how the gifts operate. Every week you got a new word, and word from the Lord. And if it didn't happen, then there was something wrong with your life. No. If it is a message from God, it is a message that cannot be altered. I used to say, if people prophesy in the name of the Lord and it doesn't happen, we need to do what they did in the Old Testament, stone them. And people would be more reluctant to say they're speaking for God, because then they would know there's consequences if it doesn't happen. So, but they should be words of encouragement. They should be words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Gifts of the Spirit work within those three categories. And the first category is never say Jesus is accursed. So that's the first one. Then all of the gifts come together for edification, exhortation, comfort. Discerning of spirits. This is the ability to know whether it's evil spirit, human spirit, divine spirit. Okay? The origin of something. Now, my rule of thumb is, if it doesn't come from God, then we need to refocus where it's going. I don't need to find out, well, that person, well, they're speaking from the devil. Well, maybe they're speaking from their own life. But what is the word of God on that situation? Let's follow that. So I don't have to follow what somebody tells me. You know, because when Paul was going to go to Jerusalem, the people came to him and bound his hands and said, "This is what's going to happen to you whenever you get to Jerusalem." And Paul says, "Yeah, I know. That's why I'm going." Now, those people weren't speaking of the devil. They were speaking the word of God to Paul, and this is what's going to happen when you get there. They didn't want him to go. But Paul said, no, I know this is what's going to happen, because I have to go to Rome. So in order to get to Rome, I've got to go to Jerusalem and be arrested and put in prison.
It cost him nothing to go to Rome.
No. He'd had to pay. Yeah, and also, he was in safety now. He was under the Roman protection, but they still tried to kill him. Because people try to kill you doesn't mean you're not doing the right thing. People cannot like you, and you're still doing the right thing. So discerning of spirits is knowing the origin of something. You know, sometimes you listen to TV, and you just know this is pure humanism, or it's influenced by the devil, or this, you know. There's sometimes when people, their comedy is not comedy, it's demonic. You know, so you hear it, you know, it's just like, turn that off. I don't want to hear those words. Okay? Then, you know, that's evil. Then, you know, there's people who are just pure humanism. It's their pure human logic. Okay? But then there's the Word of God, and there are people who say they speak for God, and it doesn't sit right here. You know, but it's okay. It doesn't mean that they're evil. It just means that for your life and what they are saying, it doesn't match up. Like whenever a person was on TV in the national television ministry and so on, and I just flapped by them, I went by them, and they said, we've got to get rid of the demon of grief. And I thought, my goodness, God, how could this person say such a thing, that grief was an evil spirit? And, you know, a person of such influence, and how many Christians he's going to influence? And, you know, he was just, I don't know where it came from, but it wasn't God. And it certainly didn't match up with what I knew and understood. So then there's the kind of tongues that, tongues is the language that is unknown to the learner. Unknown to the person who is speaking. It's unknown, it's unlearned. Sometimes it's a heavenly language that nobody knows, and sometimes it's a language that is of another country. Whenever, I remember Brother Barris and Jeanette, he had, there was a message in tongues in that church, and there was someone there that was from Italy, in some remote corner of Italy, that had a certain dialect, and the person that was speaking spoke in that dialect that was the exact dialect of this person. Nobody else in the whole congregation knew it, but this person who spoke said it like, and that one understood. And when there was an interpretation, this person came forward and said, that's exactly what they said. You know? Yes, what happened today? Sister Byers, who was a missionary from, you know, for 50-some years in Japan, that there was a typhoon, and she had her orphanage, and she had all the kids in a certain place, and she was praying that their orphanage would not be destroyed, because they were right in the path of it. And there was a little boy spoke in English and told her that everything was okay, and that God had his hand over that orphanage, and everything around them would be destroyed, but there they would be safe. That's a message in tongues. So it is for, you know, so for her, you know, nobody else understood, but it was such a supernatural thing for her that she got such assurance that she was so concerned for her children that they were all going to die in this typhoon. And that God, you know, she's praying, and God then gave her that message and that interpretation. She knew it because it was English. The child didn't know English. He's a little kid from Japan. You know, he barely knew his own language. And then the interpretation of tongues is not a translation. It's an interpretation. Meaning that there can be a message, and people can have a not a translation. Translation is word for word, but it is the intent of the message is the interpretation. Okay? So those are the gifts that God gives to his, for the church, for many people. So whenever we are praying, whenever we are, in prayer, we're recognizing, we're asking God, we follow Christ. He is our example. He will give to us by the Holy Spirit several gifts as we have need of for our work of service. And as we open our heart, all of them are available to us. And the same with the fruit. Okay? So that's the gifts. I have a whole other thing here, but we don't have enough time. So God has set every member in the body of Christ, and we're all here for a purpose. None is less than the other. None is less than the other. No matter what body part we are, whether we're the little toe or the ear or the eye, the nose, the tongue, the finger, none of us are less than the other. It takes the whole body for the body to function. So no one is greater than the other. That's why the gifts are given for the entire body. Jesus, we thank you that you know our hearts and our lives, and you made us, you formed us, you placed within us, O Lord, your Spirit, and Lord, we pray for your gifts to be operative in our life, that we may be part, as we are part of the body of Christ, for the edification, the exhortation, and comfort of those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.